Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
And now we conclude our week-long series on the five nominees for the Best Documentary Oscar. Today, Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory. It's the final film in an HBO series that seems to have actually gotten an innocent man off death row and his two fellow accused out of prison as well. With me now, Brian Sanofsky, co-director with Joe Berlinger of Paradise Lost 3. Brian, Bruce, welcome to WNYC.
Yeah, it's Bruce and Joe Berlinger. Yeah, glad to be here.
Let's get into the story with some clips from the film. Three teenagers from West Memphis were convicted in the 1990s of murdering three eight-year-olds from their neighborhood. Here is the lead investigator in the case, Gary Gitchell, speaking at the time about the case.
Can you just say again how strong you feel this case is?
Someone asked me if on a scale from 1 to 10, and I told them 11. So that's how strong it is.
But you also have this clip from that time, from the end of one of the trials that found the three guilty, in which the judge addresses one of the convicted teens. Now, listen carefully to this, folks. This is a direct interaction between the judge and one of the convicted teens, Jason Baldwin.
Jesse Miskelly, Damian Echols, and Jason Baldwin are now convicted killers.
Do you have any legal reason to show the court or give the court at this time as to why a sentence should not be imposed?
Because I'm innocent.
Pardon?
Because I'm innocent.
Because I'm innocent. Bruce, what year was that exactly?
That was 1994 when the second trial of these three happened. Yeah, so.
At what point did you get involved with this story, you and Joe, and was it because you doubted the verdict?
We were sent down by Sharon Evans at HBO. We were working with her on a different project, and she saw a small article in the New York Times. It was from the Commercial Appeal in Memphis, Tennessee. And we went down there, and the more we got into the case, it was clear that one and one was not equaling two. And when Joe and I met the three defendants, it really solidified us, for us. And we saw them as being very, very different than what the local media, the local ministers, you know, everybody was against these guys.
One of the really powerful things about your film is that you have some of the same players talking to you now as, you know, who you had from the start. So we see how they have aged and you see how their points of view have changed in some cases. So an example of one of those contrasts, the stepfather of one of the murdered boys, John Mark Byers, is shown in 1993 saying the three accused teens were guilty and they were evil, devil worshipers. But here he is in 2009 talking about the house where one of them lived that has been unsold and vacant for many years since.
People that brought into the propaganda that the West Memphis Police Department and the media put forth, devil worshipers, because of some of the graffiti around, they got on that bandwagon and everybody jumped on board, and it was hysteria. People wouldn't let their children out.
You jumped on that bandwagon too.
Oh, I led the bandwagon.
I led the bandwagon. And you see him then and you see him now.
A lot of people thought that Mr. Byers was possibly the man that killed the three in the early days. We followed the case for 18 years, so there was room for people to change. And thank God that people in Arkansas changed, because that was part of what put pressure on the Attorney General's office to let these guys eventually, last August 19th, out of jail.
What was the devil worship that he referred to in that clip? Did it have something to do with heavy metal music that the three accused teens were listening to at the time that actually became part of people's perception about a motive?
Yeah. I mean, at that time in the United States, there was a huge amount of concern about satanic worship. In fact, people on Sundays that's all they talked about. And ministers were saying that these three were guilty, and they were, you know, obsessed with this satanic panic. And it really had a huge impact on the jury pool. You know, there were just – it was impossible not to see on the news that these three guys were devil worshipers who sacrificed to the devil three little eight-year-old boys.
And you helped make the West Memphis Three, as they came to be known, a cause célèbre. Here is the lead investigator in the case again, Gary Gitchell, same guy who said 11 on a scale of 1 to 10 on how open and shut the case was, when asked about you in a 2009 deposition.
Is it fair to say that following the HBO documentaries, the Paradise Lost documentaries, there became sort of a public – let me finish my question. I'm sorry. There became sort of a public debate or controversy about whether the West Memphis Three had been wrongfully convicted.
Yes.
And that public controversy – and I understand your position that it was caused by the documentaries, but that public controversy really did expand to be a national controversy.
Right. It's almost a cause.
And you'd agree with that, too?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, you know, we were a little disappointed, Joe and I were, after the first film, because it never really got off the entertainment pages. And we thought that people would be taking this situation seriously, that it would make it to the editorial pages, and it never did.
What year was that, that first one?
96 it came out. I mean, we were down there for a big chunk of 93 and 94. But the film came out on HBO and 96, and it attracted a lot of people.
And celebrities got involved?
Yeah, Johnny Depp, the Dixie Chicks, Eddie Vedder, Johnny. Yeah, I mean, it was – people saw it, and they saw themselves in these three boys, you know, especially Damian Eccles. And I even saw myself in there, and I know Joe did too, because we were different, you know. I still wear black. You know, and I still listen to Metallica, but that doesn't make me a killer.
Calls your taste into question, but that's another – no, I'm just kidding. Did the fact that New Yorkers from HBO were at first the loudest questioners of the convictions cause local law enforcement to dig in?
No. I mean, nobody's dug in. I mean, if it wasn't for the Johnny Depps and the regular people who would go to the website, you know, tens of thousands of people that would roll pennies to send to them in jail, that had a huge, huge effect. And then when more money came in from the bigger spenders, they were able to get the kind of counsel that they needed. And over years, they put a lot of pressure on the justice system in Arkansas.
One storyline in this film is that you gather some evidence that one of the dead boy's stepfathers, Terry Hobbs, actually may have killed them. Here, for example, is a DNA expert comparing DNA at the scene with the West Memphis Three and with Mr. Hobbs at a press conference.
None of the DNA from any of the crime scene evidence could be associated with Mr. Eccles or Mr. Baldwin or Mr. Miskelly. Terry Hobbs could be the source of that hair on the ligature. Approximately 1.5% of the population at large could be the source of that hair. None of the defendants could be the source of that hair on the ligature.
So this is another example of DNA evidence, which they didn't have in 1993,
right,
coming back to exonerate somebody.
Well, I don't think that Terry Hobbs necessarily did it, and I don't want to –
Well, I'm talking about the part of that clip that has a 0% chance that any of the three who were convicted.
That is true. Damian, Jason, and Jesse, there is nothing of them at the crime scene that would implicate them.
And then why did you raise questions in the film about this stepfather, Terry Hobbs? You certainly didn't have the evidence to convict him of anything in court.
It was something that was going on, you know, in the area. There was a possibility that the hair found in the ligatures would implicate Terry Hobbs, and there were a lot of people that thought that he had something to do with it.
Is it unfair,
We raised the question.
Is it unfair in a similar way to the convictions, in a sense, raising these questions in the viewer's mind with scant evidence regarding Mr. Hobbs?
Perhaps. We felt that it was our obligation to – it was raised in the courtrooms. It was raised in the Supreme Court. So we felt that our audience and would need to know this. We don't say that he did it. And the person that was the expert for the defense says that it's 1.5% that it could be him. But – why didn't that come up in the first trial? I think it would have been appropriate for it to have been brought up, but the police and the medical examiner didn't do their job.
We should also say that the West Memphis Three did not get officially exonerated by the state. They took an unusual thing called an Alford plea, guilty while claiming innocence. Here is the district attorney explaining that to the press on the day it went down last August.
Guilt or innocence was never on the table. Today's proceedings allows the defendants to have the freedom to say that they're not guilty, but in fact, they just pled guilty. The legal tangle that has become known as the West Memphis 3 case is now finished.
And that, of course, from an actual news conference last August, but with the music as part of the documentary Paradise Lost 3, nominated for a Best Documentary Oscar. And so they were freed at that moment, August last summer.
August 19th. They were let out in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and we had the pleasure of spending that evening with them at a hotel in Memphis and celebrating their freedom. It was amazing to see these guys breathing the same air that I was breathing and Joe was breathing.
So this Alford plea, guilty while claiming innocence, they were resentenced to time already served, which is how they were able to walk out of the courtroom that day. But tell us more about this plea.
The Alford plea allowed them to plead guilty to a lesser charge. And specifically for Damien, who was on death row, this was obviously an important thing. Jason, God bless him, he didn't want to take the plea. But he realized that Damien was facing death. And after 18 years, it was likely that he would have been put to death sometime in the next year or two.
Do you think justice was done? The three still officially have the guilty plea on their records for the rest of their lives. And Jason, as you say, seemed in the film none too happy about that.
They should be exonerated. It's an embarrassment for the state of Arkansas. They should let these guys – they shouldn't have to have a sword of Damocles hanging over their head for the rest of their lives for something they didn't do. You don't think that they would have let them out if they really felt that they had done the crime. I mean, come on. They let them out. And this was one of the most vicious crimes in Arkansas history.
You may or may not win the Best Documentary Oscar, but you already have something better. When you're old and reminiscing about your life, you may be in a bar with friends someday, and one will say, I won an Academy Award. And another will say, I made $10 million. And you'll sit back and you'll sip your light beer and you'll say, I helped save an innocent man's life. Do you experience it that way?
Yeah. I think Joe and I firmly believe that our Oscar is the freedom that we were able to help. We were just part of it. We started it maybe, but we helped get three guys out of jail and one that was on death row who was suffering to get freedom. I mean, what's better than that? I don't mind having an Oscar on my mantelpiece, which would be great, but being able to call them on the phone, to have lunch with them, dinner with them, is more important.
We just have 10 seconds, but what do you do next?
Well, we go out for the Oscars and hopefully win one, but I'm approaching retirement. I've reached a certain point after working for 30 years that I'm ready to go to our house in France and retire.
Bruce Sinofsky, co-director with Joe Berlinger of Paradise Lost 3, Purgatory. And we should mention that this is still available for viewing right now on HBO Go. Thank you so much.
Thanks for letting me be here.
And that ends our series with the makers of all five Best Documentary nominees. We hope that was a meaningful series to many of you. We will see who wins a week from Sunday, and then we'll talk about it one more time. Brian Lehrer on WNYC.